If you have your Bibles, I'm going to stop saying that. You should have your Bible. We have a reputation for giving you the Word of God at this church, and that's what we try to do every time we gather together. So bring your Bible. It's not an excuse to say what we want to say. It's God's Word. We're doing our best to give you God's Word. Well, isn't Easter a wonderful time? I just want to say thank you to all of the people that have just worked so hard and so diligently for this to be, I believe, a great day in the history of this church. Last Easter was just awesome. I think last Easter was the greatest day to that time, and we just believe we'll just smash all records again today and all that's happening. I appreciate Brother David King letting us use his beautiful tent out there. And thank you, Brother David. That people will be fed, people will be touched, but most of all, that people will be ministered to in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? 1 Corinthians 15 is the long account of Jesus and the resurrection and Calvary. I usually like to go to the Thessalonian letter if I'm graveside, so we're not there too long. And we don't have as much time to read. And Thessalonians gives us the condensed story of all of this. But 1 Corinthians 15 said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you." Hey, let's do this together. Would you? Can we get that on the screen? 1 Corinthians 15. I didn't forewarn you about that, but I'll give you just a moment. Can we do that? There it is. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. All right, can we read a few verses together? "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also are you saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then all the apostles. And last of all, Paul said, he was seen of me also as one born out of due season. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet or worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." But one more verse. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Could you say that with me one more time? "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And that's a verse that applies to all of our lives. I'd like to give a title to what I'd like to share with you today. Jesus did it all for us. Jesus did it all for you. Everything that Jesus did. And I don't know how you could be in the Metroplex without viewing so many insights on the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And his bloody as it seems to be, I don't think anyone has ever painted it or depicted it as terrible as it really was. He did it all for us. My message is very basic today, so we'll just start in it, and we're going through 1 Corinthians 15, hitting the high points and sharing with you today. First of all, the gospel. Can you say, "Thank God for the gospel"? Thank God for the gospel. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then just companion verse with that, "The just shall live by faith." Thank God for the gospel. I thank God for music, and I think that God has over a period of time given us some of the most inspirational and lovely and beautiful music in the world, but there's nothing that can take the place of the gospel. I mean, sometimes I hear of things that are happening nowadays, and the whole conversation is about music. Thank God for music. I love music. I mean, I do. I love praise and worship. I love music. I love a combination of the old and the new. I love it. But ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing that can take the place of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing that can take the place. No one's book is better than God's book. No one's book is better than God's book. It's good to read books about the Bible. It's good to read any kind of an inspirational book. But no book is greater than the Word of God. Amen and amen. Thank God for the gospel, preached, received by faith. And he said, "You're standing in this," and he did it all for us. The Lord gave the gospel for us, for you, for me. Secondly, we see in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins. Over the years that I have been in full-time ministry, 50 years as a pastor, and actually coming on my 60th year in the ministry, I started when I was in high school preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I still shudder when I think I've seen it all and heard it all, when I hear of some of the terrible, ungodly, perverted, crazy, off the charts things that people are doing in our society. And I'll blame some of it on Hollywood, because the bloodier, the more guts, the more blood, the more violent, and those that oppose guns do more shooting than anyone. Hollywood. Yeah, they want your BB gun and whatever else you have in the house. But they are the ones that put guns and murders and, because it sells, blood sells. But Christ died for all of our sins. There is not one sin in this auditorium today among the hundreds of people that are in this morning worship service at Calvary. There's not one sin. You cannot upstage God. You cannot stand up and say, "I'm the one greatest sinner in this room today, therefore my sin is too great for the forgiveness of God." No sin is greater than the blood of Jesus Christ that we sang about in the service this morning. No sin. I've seen parents and children and relatives do totally animalistic things. It makes you cringe. You think, "Oh God, oh God." But I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth can forgive and cover and cleanse every sin, no matter how heinous or how gory or how terrible that sin may have been. Christ died for our sins. He did it for us. Yes, he came into this world, and for over 3 years, he went around teaching and preaching. Jesus was a teacher and Jesus was a preacher. Some people kind of get tripped up on that. Say, "Well, I just listen to teaching." Well, you're missing the other half of it. "Well, all I listen to is preaching." Well, you need some good teaching. Jesus was both a teacher and a preacher. Read the Gospels. It's very plain in this. But he went around doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy, saving all that would ask for forgiveness, forgiving the woman caught in the sin of adultery, forgiving the woman at the well with five husbands, and the one she's living with now, they just didn't even worry about going to the justice of the peace. And yet, she found forgiveness and went into the city and brought a majority of that city out to the Lord Jesus. I prophesy in the name of Jesus that there are people in this room today that God has and God will, before you leave here, forgive you of sins to such a magnitude and such a degree that you're going to go out and get all of your friends, get all of your friends, all your drinking friends, all your party friends, all your sinner friends, and bring them into the house of God. You can get them saved before you get here. That's all right with me. Just bring them in. Witness, win, and bring them in. Folks, it's time to tell people that there's only one answer. It's not better education. It's not throwing our money on more education that's not working now. That's why we have a Christian school next door. Oh, education. No, education is not the answer. It's not the total answer. It helps. And I encourage all of our young people, get the best education that you possibly can. You need to know two or three things, how to do two or three things well in the world in which we live. But oh, I'm telling you, education's not the answer. Peace is not the answer. We just had the election that was run a few years ago on no more war, bring all our troops home. And I read in the paper this morning, now we're going to Poland. Great. I get so sick and tired of political promises that turn out to be lie, lie, lie. I'm for whenever we need to go, wherever we need to go. But I'm telling you, our army, I'm military, I honor the military, I thank God for the military. You know how we feel about that here in this church. But that's not the total answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. So he came into this world. MacArthur, after World War II, called for every missionary that could come into those areas where General MacArthur had served for so many years. He said, if we don't reach these people now, we've won the war, but if we don't reach them with the gospel of Christ, we're going to lose the war. He was a very wise general. But then I go back to Jesus. He came into this world. He gave his life to save, to heal, for miracles, to teach, to preach. And then, thank God, he was crucified with the worst way to go in the world was crucifixion. He was buried. It was all for us. Why was he put in that tomb? You can't just blame that on the Jews. It's everybody's responsibility. Everybody put him in the tomb. We all put Jesus on the cross. We all put Jesus in the tomb. We all contributed to that. We all did. He was buried for us. But thank God, according to the teaching of the scriptures, on the third day that he would rise again, thank God he rose again. And not only was that scripture true, not only was that prophecy true, but I tell you, every other word, every other prophetic word spoken in the Word of God, if it hasn't come to pass, it shall come to pass. I don't know, we've been to Israel, what, some 15 times now, and plan on going next year. But I'm telling you, oh, as every time I go back to Israel and see that little tiny piece of real estate surrounded by those who would take them out in a New York second if they could. Every time I go to Egypt, I say, God keeps his word. Israel is still in business with all they've had going against them. Thank God, God sent people in that cleared that swamp area and all the mosquito-infested area of what Israel used to be. And now it's blossoming like a rose. He rose again the third day. Now, a lot of times there's rumors that this happened or that happened, but he was seen. He was seen. Who saw him? Peter saw him. If anybody ought to know him, Peter ought to know him. Then of the 12, 500 plus people saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead. 500 plus people. James, who most of us feel was the head of the church at that time, James saw him. Then all the remaining apostles saw him. And last of all, Paul the apostle, who did not see him with his naked eye, saw him with his revelation eye. And he said, as a man born out of due season, I've met Jesus. I know Jesus. I met him on the road to Damascus. And I serve him joyfully every day. Come to another truth that's found in 1 Corinthians 15. By the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am. Let me tell you something. None of us can beat our chest or pat ourselves on the back and sing how great I am. Folks, every good part of every one of us has to come back to this. I am what I am by the help and by the grace of Almighty God. Not of works, lest men should boast. We've all missed it. And I've got another P.S. We've missed it since we were born again. Just because we were born again doesn't mean we were instantly perfect. We've missed it even since we've been born again. But oh, praise God, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Things are as good as they are. Thank God for the grace of God. God's unmerited favor. God's willingness to give us his best, even though we don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. We deserve hell. All of us have rejected him. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no many ways to heaven. All roads don't lead to heaven. All religions don't lead to heaven. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I don't care what the name is on the church. There's only one way to heaven, and the door is spelled J-E-S-U-S. Only one. Only one. Only one. Thank God. Oh. Then we read in 1 Corinthians 15, one of the most scary verses that's in the entire Word of God. What if there be no resurrection? What if there be no resurrection of the dead? Well, Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. Well, if Jesus did not rise, we're all in trouble. The preaching, I've got news for you. We're the biggest fools that ever came down the turnpike to be in church this morning. If Jesus be not raised. Got quiet on me. We're not here for religion. We're not here for psychological reasons. We're here as a matter of heaven and hell and enjoying the kingdom of God on our way to eternity. But our preaching would be in vain. Your faith would also be in vain. Every gospel song ever written would be in vain. Every sermon ever preached would be in vain. Billy Graham's life was in vain, as well as Charles Finney and all the great revivalists of years gone by. The scary thing is we would yet be in our sins. Oh my God, we would yet be in our sins. If only in this life we have hope. But thank God, here it is. Oh, thank God, here it is. Hallelujah. But now is Christ risen from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits. Now, let me tell you something else. You know, I was just thinking yesterday, just watching and just seeing people. You know, Americans, we've got it so good, we are spoiled rotten. Now, I'm not against having things, don't get me wrong. I mean, you all look good this morning. If you didn't buy it, you got it somewhere. Someone gave it to you or loaned it to you. You got here some way. You got to church this morning. Just look out on the freeway behind us. People are driving better than I've ever seen Americans drive. Poor people are driving new cars. I know our government's in a mess, but outside of that, I mean, people are living better. Living better. I think of some of the little apartments Joe and I lived in when we first got married. We thought they were castles, but I look back now and I'm like, dear Lord, you know. You can just go to the average brand new latest apartments that have been built, even if they're not luxury apartments. I mean, Americans live very, very good. We eat very, very good. Most of us could fast a few meals and never know the difference. You go to the supermarket, and I'm one of the worst. I mean, I like to drive up, get as close as I can get, run in, grab what I'm going to get, pay for it, and I'm out of there. I don't know why it takes you an hour to get out of a food store. But thank God for it. I mean, you know, just run down to your local 7-Eleven overseas and find some item that you forgot in your travel. We are blessed. We're blessed with clothing. I went into a Target looking for a certain thing the other day, and I told Laura, you could land a Cessna 150 in that place. That's the biggest store I've seen in a long, long time. Every kind of a thing. I thought, do they really sell all this stuff? Do people really buy this? Or is this just display? I mean, you look at what we have. Americans are blessed. We need to thank God every day for the blessings of God. And yet we're the biggest gripers in the world. Biggest gripers in the world. I tell you, it's time for us to say, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God that things are as good as they are. Thank God that things are as good as they are. Thank God gasoline's not $10 a gallon. $12 a gallon if you can find it. But let me tell you something, friend. The end is coming. I mean, the way this world is, there's a tendency to say, hey, man, never had it so good. Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. It's a song, unbelieving song somebody wrote somewhere back years ago. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus, I believe, is coming soon. You say, well, I've heard that all my life. I have too. They heard the prophet say, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. But one day, a child was born, a son was given. Jesus was born into this world. That's why we all get involved in the Christmas story and think of all the wonderful things there. Here we're looking at, I think I misquoted in one of the, I believe this is the first of the fourth in a series, Blood Moons, that is highly significant, that things have happened in Israel. I mean, folks, there are prophetic signs of the times that are happening on every side. Everywhere you look, thank God things are as good as they are, but you better keep your bags packed to be out of here. We better live every day with eternity in view. We better be able to say what John said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You don't want to be here after he's come. You don't want to be here. The end is coming. Oh, but the Bible said the last enemy to be put underfoot is death. You know, as a pastor, I've been through probably, I think I'm very accurate of this, around 2,500 at least, weddings and funerals over a period of time, the period of time I've been in the ministry. You see families grieve over the loss of a loved one. You see the grief that comes with death, and different circumstances create more grief than others. With some, we just thank God they got relief and they're free from this earth suit, and you know they're in the presence of God. But the last enemy to be put underfoot is death. One day Greenwood and Laureland and Mount Olivet, whatever your favorite cemetery may be, don't spend too much time out there. Spend your time trying to get people not to have to go into eternity without Jesus. The last enemy to be put underfoot is death. We're all going to leave one of these days. I've asked God for extended, healthy quality of life because it Seems like I have so many more opportunities today than at any other time in my life. Seems like there's more open doors for Calvary than I've seen in a long time. This is a new church. It's a brand new church. God is at work. But there's two more things that we find. All this is in 1 Corinthians 15. But you know, in the midst of all of this, we have the victory right now. Oh, dear friend, life's not a country western song. Doom and gloom and misery. One's crying because she left, the other's crying because she came back. Lord have mercy. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. If you've got years yet to live, if Jesus tarries, you have the victory. If you're getting close to that departure day, shout the shout of victory. You're going home to be with Jesus. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not through the Republicans, not through the Democrats, not through anything on this earth. Our victory is in Jesus. Victory in Jesus, our Savior forever. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Listen, church, listen to me. Of all times, don't be a flaky Christian. I pray God you haven't come out on Easter just to salve your conscience. Don't be a flaky Christian. Be for real. Be real. Tell the truth the first time when it doesn't seemingly make any difference. Love one another. Give to God. The Bible said be steadfast, unmovable. Don't be shifty. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, we live in probably the sports center capital of the world. I'm not against clean sports, not against it. But I'm going to tell you, friend, if your whole life is football, you need to get some Jesus involved in your life. Thank God for the Rangers winning some games now. We're pulling ahead. But that there's more to life than the Rangers and the Cowboys and the hockey puck and the Mavericks. Be involved in the work of the Lord. Find where you feel you need to be and give it everything you've got. Church is not dead. Real church is not dead. Real Christianity is not dead. It's God's vehicle to love and to help and to deliver and to heal sick and hurting humanity. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let me say this to you know, every time you drive up to this church the last few days, people are working day and night. They're working day and night. Hallelujah. God bless the people that have worked day and night. God bless those that were out early this morning on bus routes. God bless those that are ushering. We're all part of the Calvary team. Not just God bless those that went out to witness. Thank God for that. It's amazing. From young people to old people, we're seeing people come back that have won 10, 15, 20 people to Jesus in about a 3-hour period of time. Folks, do you realize this is the grace of God in the end time? God. I'm astounded. I'm thrilled. I'm overjoyed to see what we've preached about for years coming to pass. Leaping out in a greater way. But know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want all you faithful, loyal, tithing, loving, praying people to know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Not one penny you've ever put in the plate is lost. Not one prayer that you've ever prayed in faith believing is lost. Not one sacrifice that you've ever been made is lost. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll tell you some of the most joyful days a man could ever have, I've had in the ministry. But you also have some bitter disappointment. But you know, if you just do what you do in the name of the Lord, then it's people's problem if they don't do the right thing. I can't live people's lives for them. And I don't desire to try to dictate anything to people's lives. So we summarize it all with this. Jesus came into the world for us. Jesus preached, taught, did miracles of healing for 3 years for us. Jesus suffered, bled, and died for us. Jesus was resurrected the third day for us. Jesus left but sent another comforter. And he said, it's more important that I leave, because if I don't leave, the comforter will not come. But I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send you the full measure of the power of God. For this promise is unto you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, Jesus shall so come again as he went away. I know there's all kind of flaky doctrine. Some people, you know, when I was a little boy, there was a certain denomination, and Pentecostals have never subscribed to this, but I see some of them now swinging back on that. But, you know, we were going to make this world a perfect world for Jesus to come back into. Forget it. I'm not as young as I used to be. It hasn't happened. Man's tendency is sin, sin, and more sin. If you get by with it, more sin, more sin, more sin. Folks, it's time that we just say, thank God, thank God. As he went away, he's coming back. Would you do a little simple exercise? As he went away. Now, come on. As he went away, he's coming back to receive us unto himself. And then all hell's going to break loose in this world. Church, it's time to get it right. It's time to know Jesus stronger than ever before. It's time to trust in the Lord. It's time to realize that your labor is not in vain, and God honors everything that you've done. I want every head to be bowed just for a moment. I know we've had